Hello everyone, I just want to introduce you to this first episode of this brand new podcast, Don't Fuck It Up, where I will be discussing all the drama and the gossip with your favourite RuPaul's Drag Race queens. Now, let's get on with the very first episode.
Guys, I just want to introduce you to our first guest on the podcast. You might know her from shows like Drag Race, My Strange Addiction, and Botched. She is also the world's number one Madonna impersonator. It's Miss Venus Delight.
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Good. Good. I'm happy and living here in Rosarito Beach, Mexico.
Good, good. So I'm guessing that you are doing well in these hard times.
Yes. I'm a survivor. If anybody knows me, I'm definitely a survivor. So this is... I'm playing it by, just playing it how it goes. But in the meantime, you know, I'm eating a lot, I'm drinking a lot, and that's what people in Mexico do, you know?
At least you're keeping well. That's the main thing. Obviously, everyone knows your career from Drag Race, but obviously you've
had... here's my tea, Tecate. Here's my tea for the tea.
You had a long, illustrious career before Drag Race, so I wanted to kind of dive into that a bit more and discuss how you got to where you were and then carry on with your drag career after what Drag Race did for you.
Okay, sure.
So when you started drag, how did that all come around? Was it kind of a spur of the moment kind of thing, or did you plan it?
It was spur of the moment. If we're gonna go way back to the beginning, like when I was 15, I put that on the universe. I wanted to be Madonna.
Okay.
So, my mom thought I was crazy, and I mean, just everybody thought I was crazy, and you know, but I had this ambition to like prove everybody wrong. So I kind of just put it out in the universe, and there was a series. You know, I mean. When you plant seeds in the universe, things come into fruition and it can go in a direction, you know, that you'll least expect, but it's taking you in the direction you want to go to.
Yeah.
So I was 17. I had met my first boyfriend of 11 years, and his name was Eddie, and he happened to be the best friend of another Madonna impersonator. Her name was Viva. Okay. And Viva was very famous back in the day as Madonna, when Madonna was, you know, at her prime. And so he was best friends with her. Mm. So we had been together already about 2 years. And then one night he convinced me to dress up as Madonna for a club night that was having a Madonna theme night, which Viva was going to perform. And I was really hesitant about it because I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a poor replica of my idol. I just don't want to do that. But mm-hmm. He convinced me because he was a makeup artist, or still is. And okay. So he dressed me up and we went to go pick up Viva because she was performing that night. And so Viva performed that night, and she performed early. And then we were all in the smoking patio. I went back outside and I just had the balls to just like go on stage and perform. It was a huge stage. And there was quite a number of people there. So I got up, you know, I performed Vogue and I just got this huge ovation and people taking pictures with me outside. It was just a really unexpected spur of the moment thing.
Yeah.
And then I just kept going on from there. And, I continued to do shows, and I just continued to put myself out there. And then by the time I was 21, I had my own show, and this was in 2005.
That's a good accomplishment for that such a young age.
Yeah, and it lasted 6 years. So it was very, it's still hard today to get a drag show to last more than 3 months or 6 months. So this show lasted 6 years.
Where was that show?
It was in Riverside, California. It was at a place called VIP Nightclub.
Was it a certain like night, or did it have a theme, or was it just a standard drag show?
It was on a Saturday night. It was called Flawless. So, oh,
good name.
It was called Flawless, and I would make opening intro mixes for the show, and I had George Michael's Flawless in the mix somehow, and we would it was a great show. You know, I had everybody, you know, from the first couple of seasons of Drag Race in my show. You know, I had Chad Michaels all the time. I had Jasmine Masters. I had Raja. I had Delta. I had and Morgan. Who else did I have? I had everybody in that show. And so everybody from the first couple of seasons of Drag Race would go to VIP to do drag, mm-hmm. or they would go to another club called Oasis. That's not there anymore, but Oasis was like the mecca for drag shows.
Okay.
Back in the 2000s. And Oasis nightclub would have a night called Drag Idol, which was on Sunday. And it was a 10-week drag competition. And the cash prize was $400. And the owner, his name was DJ West. And he was a huge fan of drag. And he loved doing the show. And he loved Madonna. So we met and, you know, we became very close. And I won Drag Idol 4 times. And
four?
I was won it four Goodness. Times, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if somebody got above me, but I think I was the one who had the most titles. The most wins, yeah.
How long did that competition run for? Was that an extensive long period or?
It's actually still running. He's oh, not, okay. He's at a different club now. But he's still running it. It's still running to this day.
Oh, but that's good.
But the first Drag Idol winner was Raven. And then the second one was me.
And were you consecutive 4 years or was it kind of off a year, on a year, off a year?
It was like that pattern because I had my own show at VIP, so I really didn't want to do competitions.
Mm-hmm.
And also I was in a review called the Dream Girls Review.
Yes.
So I didn't really feel like I need, after I had won the second time Drag Idol, I really didn't feel like I wanted to do it anymore. But Wes was very charming and very convincing. So he, you know, would convince me to do it. And I ended up winning 2 more times. The third time I won, I didn't think I was going to win. I don't even know why I won.
So, why did you think you wouldn't win?
I didn't think I wouldn't. I had done Madonna's opening for her Confessions tour, and it was Future Lovers Until I Feel Love.
Okay.
And it's a very slow number, but I mean it's very dramatic, very costumey. And you know, I really didn't I wasn't trying to win that night. Okay. I was just, you know, I had been asked to do it, so I did it. And then I won, and I was like, oh, okay, I won. Well, I wasn't expecting that. Because there's, you know, I mean, there was a lot of girls that, you know, went, you know, they would do shablams, and they went way out. And, you know, I wasn't doing any of that or standing on my head like, you know, other Madonna performances. But so I didn't think I was going to win. I was just in a top hat, you know, feeling my gish with two boys as my man horses, I guess you can say so. So, but the fourth time I won, I knew I won.
Did you approach that one and want to be in the show where we asked to do it again that year on your fourth?
The fourth win, I kind of did the same thing with the third. I was like, well, what do I do? And so the performance I had done the first time I had won, mm-hmm. I repeated it and did it for the fourth time. So I thought I was going to get knocked off points for repeating it, but I ended up winning again. But I mean, it was an amazing performance. And like, you can literally hear a pin drop. Like, people were just like in awe of it. I have video of it, and just as soon as the music ended, just, I mean, applause. And it was a long encore of applause. I do remember that night very well. Great memories. I always have to say, you know, of all of all my past performances, all the Oasis shows were my favorite of all time.
Would you say that's kind of one of your highlights of your drag career before Drag Race and all that kind of stuff happened?
You know what? I have to say yes, because it wasn't just doing a contest. It was my off and on again professional relationship with DJ Wes, because he was very charming and, you know, he liked to get his way, and he, you know, he would start drama with girls to get controversy going, to get people to go and to get like people all like hyped up, like, okay, this, you know, cause, it was like that with me and Raven. Like, me and Raven were like, we were the Joan Crawford and Betty Davis of Oasis nightclub. Like, I mean, you know, she was Joan because she was the pretty one. I was Betty because I was the more versatile, multi-talented one.
So it's safe to say it was kind of like a mini step into the drag world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of Drag Race, with the producing of the drama and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, from previous interviews you've done, I've obviously kind of watched over them and seen a few things I'm going to touch on. You had mentioned on, I think it was Hey Queen, about being approached for season one of Drag Race. Yes. And you declined that.
Yep, twice.
What was the story there? Like, did they just approach you on a standard night while they were working? Or
they caught us on a bad night. And when I say they caught us on a bad night, what had happened was, very, very prior to that, Delta and a couple of other girls had did this show for TLC that they were going to have these women do them up in drag, and it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And so that was, it was, you know, came on television. They were very embarrassed about it. And so, at this time, I mean, nothing like Drag Race had ever happened.
Yeah.
And if you were going to be put in a movie or a television spot as drag, it usually was kind of pathetic and usually, you know, was something that they were going to make fun of you for and not take it seriously. It was kind of like you were going to be like the butt of a joke, mm-hmm. you know, or basically you were not taking it seriously. You're basically, you were personified in like the worst way. Absolutely. So
you're kind of used as a prop more than anything.
When they came to ask us, that was fresh in their minds and fresh in our minds with what had happened. So we thought it was just going to be like another one of those kind of shows, you know, where, you know, it's not going to be our like, you know, ticket to fame, or it's not going to be worth our time. So that's why we all had to climb.
Yeah. How did they approach that? Like, how did they pitch the show to you on that night?
They had all come, RuPaul used to go see the Dream Girls Review all the time. And RuPaul always liked going to drag shows. She was there the first night I ever performed. The first night I ever performed in drag, RuPaul was there doing the spotlight for me. And
that's a moment in the career.
Yeah. So
RuPaul was your spotlight.
I know. It's crazy, but it's true. True story. And so she had always gone to see the Dream Girls Review, and then she wasn't there with everybody that night. Her producers had come up to us and asked if we'd be interested in doing this show. And so we basically said no, we weren't interested. And they kind of were trying to like say, hey, are you guys sure about this? You know, are you sure you don't want to work with us? And we all just said no, we're cool. And you know, we were the Dream Girls Review. We were, you know, the most respected drag review in not only California, but, you know, for the United States and parts of the world that got to see the show. So, you know, we, you know, just professionally declined. And we all had no clue that it was going to be this huge, like, drag extravagant phenomenon and pop culture phenomenon that it was going to become. And so, and nothing like that had ever been done. So it was a risk, and you know, but the people responded well and everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of us who said no wanted to do it again, but the producers and RuPaul were kind of pissed off that we all had said no. So, you know, I feel like they wanted us on the show, but they weren't going to treat us with the same respect, give us the same respect because we had all said no in the first place.
So did you apply for season two as well?
I did. Yeah, I did.
And
I didn't get picked. I didn't hear till years later. They were debating between me and Sonique because we both were blonde. So, but they ended up going with Sonique and they had in mind to have me for season three. So,
okay.
Then season three came up and they wanted me to make another audition video. And, and they told me to take my time, which was, here's the thing. It was strange, but when I'm given direction, I kind of take it to the extreme. So
how long did you take to make this video?
2 weeks. I took 2 weeks. I took 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not too bad.
I took 2 weeks to make it and it took 2 weeks. I had so much fun doing it. And I mean, I can't even tell you how much cocaine I was doing when I was doing that video. I mean, it's that's my past, but I mean, it's all true. Yeah. So, I mean, I look at that video and I'm talking a mile a minute. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
what did you do in your audition video? Like, what did it have to comprise of? Was there different things that you had to do from what they asked?
Well, we had to,
what did you add it in?
We had to answer a few questions during the interview and then we had to sing RuPaul's Jealous of My Boogie.
And sing live?
Lip sync. And then we also had to, at the end, say, can I get an amen up on here? Amen. So we had to incorporate that in the video, but I got creative because they gave me time to be creative. And so I put in like this little storyline, like, you know, from the time I made my last edition video until now, I had become this really obese, drunk alcoholic, and I tied it in with the Death Becomes Her scene where Goldie Hawn's and, you know, is all fat with her cats and, you know, she hasn't paid her rent and she goes to the mental hospital and
you got creative.
Yeah, I got creative and I had a great time. Had a lot of fun.
It got you on the show.
And it got me on the show, you know.
That's the main thing.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, I guess, you know, I was ready. I was ready to do it. I was ready to be on the show.
So when you got the call that you were on the show, what was that moment like? How did you feel? Can you remember where you were?
Of course. I was at my hairdresser's house and they called me. They said, hey, you made it in the top 20. Sit tight. We're going to be in touch. And I just remember like, pretty much like dramatically falling to the floor and crying and just like shaking and in shock and in awe and couldn't believe it. And then that's when I got the call and then I didn't hear back from them until a month later.
A full month?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a reason that they didn't contact you or was it just kind of playing the long game and trying to keep you going?
I think just to keep me in suspense, you know. I think to put me in a mindset, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. To put me in.
And after that month, like, did they just phone you up out of the blue or?
They called me out of the blue and said, hey, what's your dress size? What's your shoe size? Okay, thanks, bye. Just like that. And I didn't hear from them for another month. So
that must have driven you crazy.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, looking at it now, they were definitely putting me in a mindset.
Yeah. Trying to get you into that reality TV.
Yeah, definitely reality TV mindset. So then just building the emotions, I guess you can say inside. Mm-hmm. So then they called me again and asked me two more questions, hung up the phone again. And I didn't hear from them for another month. And so I'm like, golly, did I get it? Did I not get it? And then they had set me up for the psychiatric evaluation. And then they also had this long phone interview with me over the phone.
Okay. And how did that go? Was that just kind of standard set questions or?
It was standard. It was standard set questions. You know, they wanted to know how long I've been doing drag. Where did I work? What are my inspirations? You know, what are things I like to do? And One of my favorite things to do in drag. One of my what are your strengths? And then there was one question that stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer had asked, "What are you afraid of?" And that just caught me a little off guard. I mean, just my drag spidey sense was tingling. I'm like, why are they asking me what I'm afraid of? Because I don't know. The thing is, like, it's reality TV, so I can tell they're trying to look for weaknesses. They're trying to look for things that piss you off, you know. So I didn't want to reveal that, you know. Something told me to not reveal it. So I kind of like went around the question. I said, "No, I'm not afraid of nothing. You know, I'm strong, and I, you know, try me, give me a challenge. You know, I'll be able to hold, you know, to
yeah,
hold keep hold my own, together. Hold it together." And you know, they kept asking, "Prey to spiders, roller coasters, this and that." They were digging for something. And I'm like, that made me even like not even want to answer the question even more. So
it's like you're signing up for Fear Factor instead of Drag Race.
Yeah, basically, exactly. So then so then I could tell the producer was getting upset about it. And then she's like, "Well, what was it about season two that really pissed off the queens?" And just nonchalantly, I just said, "Well, bring in Shangela on the show." And
okay.
Was it an answer out of an opinion? No. It was an answer from what I had heard other people say and other people talk about. And, you know, basically I answered her question, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but not as an opinion, as of what, you know, I had heard. And and what I had heard is that, you know, and being in Dreamgirls and being around queens and, you know, a lot of people were a little butthurt about you know, she only had 6 months experience. You know, she gets on the show and every queen, you know, on the second season, every queen in America was trying out for the show.
Yeah.
And so that did push some buttons and eke a lot of people. And then,
do you think they intentionally chose her to kind of rile up the other queens that would have wanted to get on the show by choosing someone that only had 6 months over 10 years of experience that these other queens may have?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it is reality TV. So, you know, it's, just, it's normal to do, you know, normal to do that if you watch reality TV. And, so I just answered her question and the tone of her voice said, you know, "Really? Why is that?" And so I basically told her the same thing I told you. And, you know, she was like, interesting. And so after that phone call, just that part rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And so I knew what the date they were shooting, and a week prior to when they were shooting, no confirmation, nothing. And, you know, but I still had everything. I had my costumes made. I had everything ready to go just in case they called me at the booth. So then they're like, "Hey," they called me in Delta and they said, "Hey, we need you guys to do a morning audition for us. You need to come."
Is that the filmed auditions that they showed in like episode one or something of
the casting special? So, yes. You know, I'm pissed. Delta's pissed. It's like, okay, we just went through this whole like 6 month process and you haven't given us an answer. Now you want us to do this morning audition? Like, what the fuck is going on? And they basically told Delta, like, if you don't do this, you're not going to be on the show. So, we go, not going to be considered to be on the show. So we go to this morning audition, and I was in this gold outfit. But the reason I wore that gold outfit is because I knew that, you know, drag queens were going to wear two colors, black or red.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Let me go in a color that none of the queens are going to be in, which is gold.
Stand out.
So that's, I wanted to stand out. So that's why I went in that gold outfit. There was a reason for it. So
I thought that those auditions were fake. I thought that they were all set up and you already knew that you were on the show, but that's a completely different story.
Yeah. No, we had no clue. We were in the process, but we did not get confirmation until that day.
So that was your actual reaction of finding out that you were on the show?
Yeah, actual reaction. Yes, that's the actual reaction.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, but again, like, you know, it's mindset. It's like, we were being put in this mindset you know? Mm. And so, and to create these kind of emotions. So, which it did, you know, for me, it did.
Yeah.
A lot of emotions. But you know what? In the meantime, I was, you know, ready to go if I needed to go.
And so how long was it from you, the day you walked in, day one of shooting from that audition? How long was that period?
Less than a week.
And you had to just get everything ready and go?
I had everything ready in my living room. They gave me a location to meet them. And they didn't say what time they were going to call. They just said they were going to, you know, when they call, I had to be there, like, drive there ASAP. So I surprised them because I had all this shit. They were expecting me, I guess, to come with like stuff in suitcases and, you know, it'll be like a jack in the box and just everything pops out. Like, no, like I had everything like immaculately, you know, on a wig head or in a special suitcase. Like I had like everything. I was coming there to compete, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't coming there to, you know, get my little throwaway wig, go shushang and, and you know, I wasn't Raja. I didn't get called last minute and come with two suitcases. So,
oh, I like the shit. So I know that nowadays that the queens kind of have a luggage limit.
Yes.
Did they give you a limit or did they just say, just bring whatever you needed?
They give girls who were flying in a limit. The girls who were in town, okay. Me and Delta, we didn't have a limit.
You could just bring whatever you needed, essentially.
Right.
How much did you bring?
Whoa. I brought a lot of stuff. I probably brought like 20 to 25 outfits.
Okay.
13 to 15 wigs. Tons of jewelry, tons of shoes. Everything was brand new. Like, I mean, I had everything brand new. Like, everything had not been worn more than once.
If I had given kind of a breakdown of what you would need or giving you a guideline of stuff that you would potentially need?
It was a breakdown. They did say, you know, they did say to bring a spacey outfit. They did say to bring like a businesswoman outfit. Those two I remember the most. But like my artistic style at that time was, I was really into the 60s at the time. I was into Maude. I was into Peggy Moffat. I was into Twiggy. Just all these beautiful 60s models. And I was very inspired by that. So I had brought all this 60s wardrobe, Maude wardrobe to the show with me. That was the style I was going to go for. And so like when you see me with the promo, you see me with that bob hair and the very 60s style makeup. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that was what I was inspired by at the time.
So day one, what was that process like? How long did it take you to film your entrances and your first kind of photo shoot and stuff like that?
So, the hotel that we were, Well, I have a better story. Wait, let's go back.
Tell me this better story.
Okay. So the first, they checked me into the hotel and I hadn't eaten. And by the time they checked me in and checked me in, my stuff, it was already midnight. And they gave me a little a paper that said, you know, that at 9 a.m. they're going to pick me up, do my interview. And that they were going to have food at the set. So I wake up and they postpone my interview. So they postponed it till 1 or 2. So I hadn't eaten like almost 24 hours and I was starving. So I had these Alka-Seltzer tablets. I wasn't smart enough to bring snacks. I had these Alka-Seltzer tablets that I was taking to like calm my stomach down.
Yeah.
And so then they finally pick me up. I get to set and I tell them, hey, I'm starving. Can you guys feed me? And they're like, oh, we don't have any food here. I'm like, well, you said on your pamphlet, you're going to have food. You know, I'm starving. You guys locked me in a room. Like, you guys need to have some food for me. And so they got a banana for me. And
just one?
Just one. No glass of water, nothing. Just one banana. And I did this 3 to 4 hour interview. And then they take me back to the hotel. No food, no nothing. And then the tech guy is taking me to the room. And you know how when you go to a hotel, people like leave out their leftover food outside of the hotel room?
At the door.
So I'm passing by this room and I see 2 untouched pieces of toast. I grab them. And then the guy's like, the tech guy's like, what are you doing? And I was pissed. I'm like, I'm fucking starving. Nobody's fed me. You guys haven't taken me out to go eat. I'm taking this piece of toast. I'm hungry. And he's like, fine, I'll order you a pizza. I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm like, why am I getting shit for like being hungry?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, you have like, to steal food, you know, to eat. I'm not going to fucking die just to be on a reality TV show. My God. So
that interview, what was that interview for?
It was me as a boy, and they wanted a full backstory about everything that had happened in my life, emotionally, psychologically, everything. And moments in drag that I really had, like, that were highlights in my drag career. Mm-hmm. So it was a really long interview, quite a long time. So,
and then was it the next day that you guys started filming the actual show? The
next day we started filming.
And how I was walking into the workroom for the first time, because obviously back then it was very, very different to what it is now. And everyone has a kind of a pre-prepared line as they walk in.
Right.
Where you girls kind of walked in the door, said hello, and that was it.
Yeah. We don't have this like open entrance where you could just have, we just walk in and like the camera's right facing you. You know, we had to open a door, this magic door, and come in. So when they told me to, when they said, hey, you're going to open the door, and there's going to be a camera right in front of you, and you're going to look at the camera and say something, you know, be glamorous, do something, do an amazing entrance. So when you see me walking in, I open it and I'm kind of like, I look like I'm lost, but it wasn't because I was lost. It's because there was no camera in front of me.
Oh, okay.
So
where
I opened
the camera.
That's what I was looking for. So when you see me walk in, you kind of like see me look to the right because I open and I'm like,
where's the camera?
Where's the camera? So I didn't have a chance to do the entrance because I looked to the right, to the left side, and those are where the girls are. So that was my automatic response was, you know, reacting to the girls because there's no camera in front of me. So I'm like,
what's going on?
I'm like, damn, fuck my entrance, fuck my drag. So. So
that day, like, obviously you had a lot to do. You had that photo shoot. You've got to your entrance to film. Did you film all of your kind of confessionals in between that?
Oh, and then there was something else. So when I did Botched, and when I came in and I did the, oh, hello, darling.
Yes.
That was basically my makeup entrance from RuPaul, because I never had that moment on television. So that's why I did that entrance on Botched.
Well, at least you got to use the entrance in one show. Might not have been the one that you planned on using it, but
right,
you got
absolutely. It at the end of the day.
So that photo shoot on the trampoline, how was that?
it was interesting. I wasn't expecting it. And you know, I was wearing that very 60s mod gown, and you know, it would fly up when I was jumping around. So I don't regret wearing that gown, because it was a fitting gown for a shoot like that. And you know, I did see, they did take another shot of me, and it was a beautiful shot. And it was me and the whole gap. It's me kind of going like this. My legs are up like this, and I have my arms up like this, and my whole dress is all up. It's a front shot, basically. and it was a beautiful shot. And they didn't use it. And I never saw that photo again. But I remember to this day that photo. And I wish they would use that one instead of the other one, which was still a really good shot. But there was other shots.
Did you not get to kind of pick the best shot from your role, or so they just picked whatever one they wanted?
No. I didn't get
so that. You could have had the best picture in the end, but they didn't choose the best picture.
Oh yeah. I don't think it was a bad picture. I don't think it was. It's a very fun, you know, very fun picture. I don't think it's the worst. I don't think it's
Oh, definitely not. Not the worst of the bunch.
It's not the worst. It's not Stacey Lane. I mean, yeah. And like, I'm gonna break this shit at any moment, girl.
So yes, when RuPaul rolled out that big box, what was going through your head? Did you have an idea of what it was, or were you kind of dreading Shangela popping out of that box?
I was excited to be there, so it was really a moment to be excited about everything and anything. So, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe it's a fun celebrity that we're going to work with, or, you know, a gay icon or somebody from the community. So it's going to be somebody fun to work with. You know, it's, that's what I was expecting. And then, somebody should have put a return to sender on that box.
I mean, I pop Shangela.
Oh, pops, good old Shangela.
And what was the queen kind of feedback and reaction on that? Did everyone kind of embrace it, or was there kind of a fight back on her having a second chance that no one had before?
For me, it was for the girls. Like the girl, some of the girls were not happy about it. For me, I was surprised, but I was kind of confused because I was like, okay, is she making like a cameo or something? And then RuPaul said, no, she's going to be competing again. And I was like, what?
Excuse me?
Wait a minute. Wait, hold up. And then it just reminded me of that interview.
Yeah.
And so
that kind of call back to them and asking you specifically about Shangela.
Right, exactly. So, and then it also ties in with everybody else because it's like, okay, what pissed off the girls? Good old fucking Shangela, you know, was what pissed off the girls. And now she's getting a second fucking chance. It's like, is this going to make everybody happy? Oh, God, splendidly.
Definitely not.
So,
your runway challenge. So,
okay.
When you got that challenge, obviously you guys had to make your own runway look.
Right.
Were you planning on doing that? Did they kind of give you a heads up that you would have to make an outfit? Or did you kind of come prepared with that mindset of that you were going to have to create something to work in the runway?
I knew first challenge, we had to create something. So then they took us in the thrift shop and they said, you know, they were going to give us a $50 gift certificate and we had the $50 to buy whatever items we think would help us with our costume. Mm-hmm. However, when they, on the show, you see us all shopping at the same time, but that's not what happened.
Yes.
And they had shot us like shopping for about 5 seconds. And then they said, hey, stop what you're doing. Follow us to the back, which we did. And they said, hey, we're going to pull names out of a hat. And whoever name comes out first is going to get to go first. And it goes in that order. So my lucky ass got chosen, got my name pulled out last. Or so I think. You know? So I really had everybody's leftovers. Or basically, I didn't have shit to like, you know.
Nothing to work with.
I really had nothing to work with. And, you know, you think of Christmas, you think green, red, and gold.
Yeah.
And so that's what you think of. So, like, I just was, like, searching. And anything stretch, of course, is going to work. So I'm looking for stretch right away. And I did find a couple of things. And I have no clue why. Like, that little choker necklace is what cost me $10. It was, like, the most expensive thing. I don't know why I got it. But I ended up getting that damn $10 necklace. I don't know why. But I had the shitty place in line to pick and choose. I basically was the old woman who, you know, went to go get toilet paper when everybody took the toilet paper and she hasn't got shit. So...
Left with nothing.
Left with shit, yeah. That's
So when you guys got back to the workroom, when they kind of give you all of the Christmas ornaments and stuff to work with, and you and Phoenix had the same idea for the baubles, who had the idea first?
Me.
Who started working on the
I started doing it first. I started doing the glasswork first, and then Phoenix started to do it. Now, here was the thing. It was the first episode. So, emotions were high, but like the presentation and the expression of those emotions hadn't really settled in with the girls yet. So because of this, the producers were kind to like think of things to like get the girls to talk about or to say. And so, you know, there goes me following direction a little too intensely. And so they're like, Venus, you know, Phoenix is doing the same thing as you. How do you feel about it? And there goes me. Well, I fucking started first. You know, she's redundant. She's reductive. I started this idea first. It was my idea. So there goes me, you know, taking a direction way too far. But, you know, I had been told by Morgan McMichaels to be bitchy.
Yeah.
That was her advice to me. I mean, like I said, I take direction sometimes a little too far. So that's how that all started.
Sometimes bitchy works. It worked for Morgan. She's still remembered and she was on season 2. You actually openly discussed your surgeries and stuff on Drag Race. How did you start that journey of your life? Like, you talked about getting surgeries to become more like Madonna. How many, or what kind of process did you follow to get to there?
Wow. So I started about like 22, 23. This is.
And what was your first procedure?
I had implants put in right here because I wanted
them. In your cheeks?
The part of my cheek that's closest to the nose. Because I wanted that.
Like the kind
I wanted
of apple.
That. Yeah, I wanted that smile, that Madonna smile. So, then I went back for a cheek implants, and I went back for more cheek implants, and then I went for a chin implant, and then jaw reshaping, and then Botox and nose, and it became an investment because when I started doing the changes, I guess it just changed my overall look. Like I was making more money and getting tipped a lot more. It's like basically that story how like with Cardi B, like she was a stripper and she got intimidated by the girls. So she went to go get work done, her ass and her tits, and then she comes back and she's making bank, you know? So
you definitely think it helped your career, essentially?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
For people that didn't see you on Botched, what was the procedure that brought you to that show?
That's a funny story because, I was trying to get my nose done, but I knew I wasn't going to get anything done, but they really wanted a queen to be on season 1. And the casting agency of RuPaul's Drag Race was actually casting Botched. So... Mm-hmm. I knew the casting agency, and they had asked me if I knew anybody who had a botched job and wanted to get stuff fixed. So I said no, but I'll be on the lookout for you guys that can help you out. And they asked me, well, what about your surgery? I'm like, my surgery is fine, girl. Shit, if anything, I would want more. And so they laughed about it. Like, okay, can we talk about that to the producers? I'm like, yeah, sure, knock yourself out. I didn't think I was gonna get the be in this television show. And so I went to go audition, and that was, you know, my style at that time. I had blonde hair, I had fingernails and no eyebrows, and really sporting a lot of the queen's looks now, you know, with no eyebrows and
yeah,
like you could tell, like, okay, she's a queen. That gay boy's a queen. She's got no eyebrows and them lip, that lip gloss, those nails. Yeah. There's queen crossing. So that was my look, and I just, you know, I did my jush, and I didn't hear from them for about 4 months, and I didn't think I got it. And they're like, hey, we got to go for the show and we want you in it. We're not going to do anything to you, but we really want a queen. Would you like to do it? I'm like, well, and they're like, by the way, this is going to air after the Kardashian show. I'm like,
oh, definitely.
Viewers, yes, sign me up. Where, when?
Sign me up.
How much are you paying this fee for this? So you know what? I did it. And it was the easiest TV gig I ever did. We had no rehearsal. We shot it for 4 hours. It was all, there was no, it was improv and just, we went with it. And it was a lot of fun. I had a great time doing that show. It was easiest TV shoot I ever did.
Good. So,
but I was like, oh my God, another chance to be on TV. Okay, what did I not get to do on Drag Race that I'm going to get to do on this television show? Well.
Your entrance, for one.
Entrance, yeah, definitely.
Shooting back to your time on Drag Race, when you guys hit the actual main stage for the first time, you did your runway. Was it the same as it's done now? You had to walk twice without music and then with music?
It was the same back then.
Is that not awkward doing it twice? Or if you have a kind of a reveal or anything, do you do it?
Well, here's the thing. I'm actually glad they did it twice because you know how they had all this confetti snow flying. So when I got to the center of the stage of the first try, one of those damn pieces of snow caught on my lip gloss. So I had this big chunk of like snowflake on my fucking lip. And I was like, no. So I was trying to like take it off and it wasn't working. And I'm like, shit. And then the judge is like, oh girl, she's doing so good. I'm just like, they are lying liars. I have this big fucking snowflake on my lip. It's embarrassing. So we did another take and I took the snowflake off and I'm just like hoping that it doesn't happen again. And so which it didn't. So, but
good.
You know, I think it is a good thing that they do shoot it twice because accidents do happen.
Yeah. Obviously, they try and use some of them accidents to hype up the TV show. But that's reality TV.
Exactly.
When you got your critiques and you were obviously put in the bottom for that episode.
Yeah.
How did that feel? Obviously, you've had an amazing career before this show. Uh-huh. And to get there and be in the bottom two on your first episode.
I wasn't expecting it. I was really I was caught off guard by it. I was really caught off guard by it. When you're doing that part of the show, you're standing up for hours and you're standing in heels. And I was wearing those red sparkly Bette Midler-esque shoes and they were very uncomfortable. And to be in them for hours, you know, it's definitely in with the hot lights, you know, it's definitely a mood changer and, and then you haven't had alcohol. So it's definitely a, you know, it's just, you know, to be honest, I was in a bad mood because my shoes were hurting me. So I just, by the time they got to me, you know, I was just caught off guard. My feet were killing me. And that's what pissed me off. Because the theme for my outfit was Christmas in July, because drag queens do a lot of shows called Christmas in July. They do Christmas shows in July. So that was my theme. My theme was Christmas in July. And that's why it was a very, summer-esque, light outfit. And, then with what I had to work with, you know, with being, you know, the last girl in line. So, you know, that's what I had chosen to do. And then also I had made it so if I did have to lip sync, it was not going to fall apart. So, so that was my idea to go with for the outfits. But I was shocked because, like Mariah's outfit was basically, it was just two items she had chosen out of the shop, and she put some garland on the collar, and then that was it. And then she had the big hair, and that's really all she did with the outfit. Mm-hmm. But then she did get caught up with helping Mimi, so she got kudo points for that. And I don't think my outfit was the worst. And then Shangela only got worked on her outfit for 2 hours and she was able to leave set. Yeah.
Looking down that line of the rest of the outfits, which one would you say should have been in your position? Who was the worst? If you can remember that far back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mariah's and Carmen.
Carmen hardly wore anything.
Yeah, she hardly wore anything. Mariah.
So when you got to the point of the actual lip sync,
yes.
How did you think that went? Obviously, it was kind of season three was the season of contact sport lip syncs.
Right.
It was quite hands-on. Uh-huh. What was that situation between you and Shangela? Like, was there kind of any beef there? Was there bad blood? Did it just kind of, was it playful and it just came across wrong? Or
it was playful. It was supposed to be, you mean, the choice of edit and music can definitely set a tone, you know?
Oh yeah.
And with the thing, the what sucks about, you know, the version that people get to see is they don't get to see the full cut of the lip sync. And
so do you perform the full song?
We perform the full song and that song was 5.5 minutes long. So I mean if the full cut had been released, you know, it would have seemed like, you know, both of us had enough blows on each other to match up to each other. It wasn't just me like, you know, popping her or anything, or, you know, so
throwing that hair around.
It was a playful cat fight. You know, I mean, looking at back at it now, I say what would have been fair is for either both of us to have got kept on or both of us to have gone home.
Yeah.
I think looking back at it now, with what I remember and I experienced, I feel that would have been fair, you know.
Do you think from the edited version, it portrayed things completely differently than what it was?
Yes, it did.
100%.
100%, because, you know, there was also, you know, Shangela knew we were playing around, so she went with it, you know. I mean, she could, you know, if she wasn't going with it, you know, she could have been like Indian, say, hey, bitch, you know, get the fuck off me. And so, which she didn't, she, you know, she played along with it. And, you know, that's Shangela's style. If you had seen her, you know, when she lip synced against, Sahara, she's out there. She, you know, she's very physical and she's energetic, and you know, she basically expresses herself to the extreme. And so I kind of wanted to, you know, I have that in me as well. You know, I can get very extreme, and you know, we basically, you know, danced the same dance. However, you know, they had side interviews with girls saying, I'm beating her up, and Shangela's just trying to do, you know, Shangela's trying to is basically trying to be the nice girl, but I'm not the one who threw off my wig at first. She did. And so
yes, she did.
You know, I got more notoriety for throwing the wig because of what happened.
Lassoed that wig more than anything.
So then that puts it more into his perspective. You know, she threw off her wig first. And so then me trying to outdo her, what I was trying to do was, I forgot who was, Monet Exchange or somebody threw up their wig and I got caught on.
Oh, Monet Cart and All Stars. Yes.
Yes, they got caught up there and then it came down. See, that's what I was trying to do. And
throw it up the way.
I would throw it upward, yeah. But, you know, because I was in the moment, my equilibrium was off. So when I threw it, it was a misfire. And it, you know, it should have hit Shangela if it was going to hit anybody. But it misfired and it went and shot at the other girls. So, you know, was it intentional? No, it was basically, you know, a fuck up, you know, just a malfunction. So. But that's the story.
And when Shangela was declared the one to stay in the competition, what went through your head knowing that you were actually being the first one of the season going home?
I'm pissed. You know, What's her name? The new girl that just went home first.
Dahlia.
Yeah, Dahlia had nothing on me.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
That walk-off kind of spoke to no one?
I was pissed, but I went backstage and I was screaming to the top of my lungs because, the tech people were all over me and I just tell everybody, get the fuck off me, leave me alone, get off me, mm-hmm. don't touch me. And back there telling everybody I was pissed and I was throwing my outfits and packing them in the suitcase and cussing and telling everybody, well, fuck my drag, you're not going to see this shit. You're not going to see that, you know, fuck your show sucks and all this shit. I was pissed. I was mad.
Was there something in your suitcases that you wish you were able to show on the actual show?
Yeah, there was the space outfit, definitely. They told me to bring a space outfit. So I had that outfit. I had so much stuff. I would say the space outfit, definitely. And definitely I wanted to do the Snatch Game.
Who obviously were going to be Madonna for the Snatch Game, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And in that space challenge, the movie, who would you have wanted to play?
Oh, good question. I believe the part Alexis played. That would have been my favorite.
The Fembot? The one with Shangela?
Yes, the Fembot.
The twins?
Yes.
Yes, the ones that are connected at the head. Yes,
those ones. So...
After you had left, obviously you had to film promos for the show itself. How long after you had left were them promos filmed? Because I know they do it quite far off nowadays.
No, so I had got kicked off and then we were supposed to shoot the promos the next day. So
the very next day.
So I'm already kicked off and then I'm doing all these promos to try to convince people that I'm going to be the future winner. And so... You know, I'm very expressive in my eyes, so there is, you know, if you look at that footage, you do see I'm sad, and I was, you know, I was not happy to be there to do the promo shoots,
yeah,
because I already got kicked off. I wanted to go home, you know, I wanted to be alone, and you know, I had an obligation to do.
So, did they kind of have to coax you into saying certain things during that interview, or did you kind of just go with the flow because it was part of your gig essentially?
I went with the flow, basically. They said I could say anything I wanted to say. They just basically told me to say, like, tell us why you think you're America's next superstar. So.
And did that not feel weird kind of coming off of that stuff, knowing that you had been eliminated?
Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah. It felt crushing. It felt like, I mean, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then that day of the promos, we were on break. It was me, Alexis, and I think Ryan Stacy. Mm-hmm. Mimi shuts the door and she's like, what the fuck is going on? Venus, you shouldn't have been kicked off. Like, this is what's going on. This is baloney. Like, what have we got ourselves into? And then she's like, well, what do you think it is with Shangela? Why do you think she's back? And then why is she getting the star treatment? Because we already had seen that, you know, something. We had a side saying, the jig is up. The jig is up.
What did that mean?
That was basically our saying, like, hey, you know, Shangela is obviously here for a reason. Raja is obviously here for a reason. So, and we're just all caught in the middle of this and the victims, all this. So the jig is up. So we knew something was up. So I had told Mimi, I'm like, well, word on the street is that she has a sugar daddy and that's, you know, maybe that's her key ticket. And
is Shangela.
Huh? This is Shangela. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, cause she was in LA and she was working in LA and, she had a lot of friends that were my friends as well. And these are things they would tell me. So,
oh, okay.
Because I mean, Shangela,
so it's hard through the grapevine.
Yeah. Cause Shangela barely came into LA and she was just all of a sudden she was a star. You know, she wins this big pageant. She gets on Drag Race right away. It's like, okay, we were like, where did this bitch come in? I mean, she just barely got into LA and she's a star.
Like, yeah.
What, you know, who is she sleeping with? What's going on? You know, people talk, you know, I mean, so, you know, I had mentioned that to Mimi and, you know, it wasn't until 6 months later, the show comes out and Mimi's like, girl, just because you got a sugar daddy, I'm like, oh, Oh my God, she told
her. So we can say in a part that you masterminded the most infamous fight in Untucked history.
Yes, yes.
There was always rumors that the show had to be shut down after that fight. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know the full story. I would like to know the full story.
Me too.
I haven't seen Alexis Mateo, but when I see her, I'm going to get the full tea because I don't know. Even to this day, I still don't know exactly what happened. And
because there's so many conflicting rumors and stuff that went around. Obviously, it was things with RuPaul was ill. Then you had the fight with Mimi and Shangela was a thing, and it was more serious than they showed. So it's kind of like...
Yeah. No, I had heard it was more serious, you know, than it was shown. And that they both were in bad shape before the runway.
Yeah, so there was that rumor that it got proper physical.
Yeah, it did get physical.
In like an actual physical fight.
Yeah, from the girls I had heard that from Phoenix that it did get physical. And they both were really not wanting to go on the runway because they were in very bad shape, but they ended up doing it. So that's, I had heard that it was pretty bad. So, you know.
After something like that, I'm surprised that they both got to stay on the show. As long as they did.
But then, you know, I mean, Miss Shangela, you know, we got to have that right image for her. She can't be no Texas hoedown girl. She got the cut of throwing the drink real Texas style, you know, but I mean, that's just it. We can't have Miss Shangela looking any more like a saloon girl than she already does. So, you know, we need to calm the position down. We need to like get this together. So, I mean, it's obvious to me. It's obvious.
Yeah. So do you think they just didn't show that to kind of keep it's essentially not only the show's reputation, but if they favored Shangela in a way to keep her in the right light?
Oh, yeah. I believe that. I definitely believe that. And I'm not saying that as bitterness. Yeah. I'm just looking at facts. Like, you know, she's been on the show many times. You know, she's a big star of the show, probably on the payroll. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't take Albert Einstein or, you know, to like, see this and kind of connect the dots, you know?
So, yeah.
I mean,
so once you were done with the show, obviously it's maybe what, 6 months after you had shot the show that it airs, how was life during the end periods before, obviously you were the first one eliminated. And then between the airing of the show, how was life?
There was a lot, it did make me very emotional, it did make me very sad. There was pictures taken during that time where I didn't have a smile on my face. And, you know, I was having to deal with that. I was having to deal with, I was having problems with my ex because he had a drug addiction that, that had developed because of the death of his mother. You know, he was having his battle, which, I was there for that. And then, you know, also the show, me getting on the show had upset him because he knew all of these girls like on the show. And then he felt like, you know, he's very talented and he's a performer as well. And he was just like, why didn't I get my chance?
Oh, so was he a drag performer as well?
As well. Yeah. So this made our relationship different. So basically he wanted to set off on a journey and then I was about to set off on another journey with, about to become a celebrity to tour. So there was a lot of things going on in my life at that time. So, and I didn't know how I was going to, with all that in my mind, I didn't know how I was going to handle being, you know, seen as the first one gone. So, which, you know, came out and surprisingly, I had a manager who helped me get bookings for pretty much the whole year. But, you know, during all of it, with everything that was going on, everything going on in my personal life, the exhaustion of touring and then having to see like all the things that people have said about me on comments and like, it really like mentally affected me. It was so much to handle. And then when I see that, it just like really like crushed me. And I didn't know how to handle it.
Did you get a lot of hate and stuff on social media? Obviously it wasn't as prevalent as it was now back then, but I'm sure it was played a part.
I've had it all. You know, I've had people to where they, you know, complain about my makeup, or the people telling me to kill myself. You know, it's it's disgusting how far people go in these comments. And
how did you personally deal with someone essentially telling you to kill yourself? Like,
oh yeah,
how do you, like, I don't know how to describe it, but how do you kind of process that in your head that someone has essentially said that to you? Like, I'm sure it's not an easy thing to read.
Well, now I laugh about it. You know, I don't take it seriously, just from the lesson, you know, what I've learned in life, and how to basically tolerate and handle that side of the celebrity spectrum, the Drag Race celebrity spectrum. But back then, like I said, with everything that was going on in my life, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It crushed me. I was already crushed from being kicked off first. Then, you know, then I get all these comments and hate mail, and just like, and like, it was a flip from what my life was. And my life before Drag Race was performing at my shows every week, making a ton of money, you know, interacting with people at the club, but never having to interact with the rest of the world, or the dark side of the world, basically. I never had to like interact with that in my life. So it did come with a price. It came on with putting on insecurities, anxiety, and depression. Absolutely.
And for the queens that are hoping to be on the show someday, or the ones that are on it at the minute, do you have any advice for them on how to deal with certain things like that, like death threats and comments?
Honestly, I think it's best to have somebody take care of your social media for you. I think that is best, only because you have to really be mindful about these things, and mental health is an issue, and you know, some everybody's mental health is different. So I think it's best for somebody to have somebody handle the social media.
Yeah,
and they need, and the girls should just focus on the shows, and you know, having the chance to experience touring and traveling and meeting people from all walks of life who enjoy them. That's what. So they should
after be. The show, what was your kind of highlight? Can you pick out a moment from what the show gave you to say, that's a moment I'll always remember for the rest of my life? Was there a part of touring? Like, did you get to see somewhere in the world that you never thought you would see?
Oh, there's many. I would think going to Ireland was one of them. Going to the Caribbean was another one. Dancing with Madonna's dancers from her Blonde Ambition tour on stage. Definitely another highlight. Vogue magazine asking me to be a part of their Christmas party as Madonna at their headquarters.
Wow.
I mean, there's been so many, but those are the ones that stick out. You know, not having to pay for a Madonna concert ever again. So, and having front row. So yeah, that's been a great change. Happy about that.
So have you worked with Madonna personally yet, or is that still something that's on your to-do list?
I would love it to be. I would love to just sit down with her, have a glass of wine, and talk to her about retirement, but so she hate me for that. or be like, girl, I love you and I really love you and I need to be honest with you about some things. But you know,
just drop some home truths.
That's, you know, let's talk about a couple of things, because hey, what you do affects me as well. So she's getting older and so am I. So
so after all, obviously, this COVID-19 things kind of blow over, do you have any plans on going on tour again? Any regular shows that you have coming up, or anything planned just in general in your drag career?
PEG Entertainment is going to have me for their Digital Divas. So
okay,
that is coming up. I'm going to be reading Madonna's sex book.
Oh,
so
that's interesting.
It's been a big fan request, so I'm excited to do it. So that's coming up April 9th. I'm going to put the link on my social media for it.
Okay.
They're still working on the link, and that's coming up. I have two Pride shows that haven't been canceled yet. Thank God. One's in June in St. Petersburg, Florida, and one is in July for Harrisburg. So they haven't canceled. Thank God for that yet. I hope they don't get canceled.
Fingers crossed.
I am planning to get more surgeries. So, I mean,
what's on the list? Do you have an extensive list, or is it only a couple of things?
I don't want to say yet. When it all comes together, I'll put it out there. But that is
surprise. Keep the people in suspense.
Yes.
So one thing before I let you go, I wanted to do a quick little word association game with you with your season 3 cast members.
Okay.
I just ask you their name and just tell me the first thing that comes into your mind, whether it be a read or something you like about them or anything like that. So
okay.
You ready?
Sounds good.
So obviously the first one is Phoenix.
Southern girl. Atlanta.
Mimi.
Pain in the ass.
India.
Next.
That speaks volumes. Mariah.
Love drinking with her. Great. Lush.
Stacey Lynn Matthews.
Hanny.
Delta.
Emmy Award winner.
That's a good compliment. And the next one up is Shangela.
RuPaul's unknown child.
Carmen.
Still a body.
Yara Sophia.
Cracked out.
Alexis Mateo.
Glamorous.
Manila Luzon.
Pineapple.
That pineapple dress. And last but not least, Raja.
Marijuana.
Thank you very much, Venus, for being my first guest and
talking
to me for this long. I just wanted to say one more thing is, can you let the guys know your social media handles so they can follow you?
Sure. I almost said MySpace. What the fuck? Facebook.com/ Venus, DLITE. Instagram.com/ Venus, DLITE, Madonna. Those are
Do you have
two.
A website?
At the moment, no. I did, and then I didn't pay for it, so... So, but I am gonna since we have time, because we're not doing shit because the world is on hold, I might look into how to do something on Wix. So stay tuned.
Yeah, set up your own one.
Exactly.
Again, thank you very much for speaking to me for this long, and enjoy the rest of your day, because it looks like it's a nice sunny one where you are.
Thank you. Well, it was great talking to you, darling. Stay safe, please.
You too.
And
you too.
Look forward to seeing this and hearing this.
Yes, definitely. I'll speak soon.
All right. Bye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Everyone, you can also follow us on Instagram at don'tfitup. We also have our email address, don'tfitupod@gmail.com, where you can send all of your questions and queries for future Queens interviews. And you can also follow my own personal Instagram at @CalDevineClark, all one word. Thank you guys very much for joining me this week, and I will see you next week.